transcribed.
It's the fastest half hour on the air. It's Leave It to the Girls. Who enjoys the best position in life, men or women? Do men prefer helpless women? How can a woman hold her husband? For the answers to these and many more, just leave it to the girls. From Hollywood, California, Mutual presents Sheila Graham, Eloise McElhone, Robin Chandler, and their guest, lovely Culver production star Joan Leslie. Defending the men of America is the popular screen star Barry Sullivan, while our moderator, ready with the first big problem, is Gene Raymond.
Thanks, Sheriff Allen. Hello, everybody. Our first problem this evening comes from Mrs. Tom Mitchell of McKinney, Texas. Mrs. Mitchell asks, who do you think enjoys the best position in life, men or women? Sheila, do you have the answer?
I think I do. I think men have the best position in life. Women have a simply terrible time. Take babies, for instance. Why can't men have at least some of the babies? Actually, it's because they're such sissies. Have you ever heard a man scream when he scratches his finger? Can you imagine what would happen if he ever had a baby? But we have to have it.
We will go into that. Robin, would you like to add to that?
I'm not going
to
get on the subject of babies, I promise you. But I think universally, men are in a more fortunate position. However, I think in the United States, women have a better position because they have all the liberties that men have, for the most part, and all the opportunities. But when they want to succumb to being terribly feminine, they can and get away with it. Now, what could be a nicer setup?
Joan, do you have something to add?
Well, I think I'd like to take a kind of a neutral position here. I think it's a pretty 50-50 deal. I think way back, since women have won the suffrage in our constitutional law, it says that, and I ought to know, I've been delving into constitutional law lately, they have every equality that a man has, and I think it's something that our country can really be proud of. They have equal responsibilities, equal advantages.
And? You will say Eloise?
Well, I don't agree. I think that the men have the better position. I think, I hate to admit it, but even though the girls are smarter and prettier, why, you have to admit that Adam was here first, and they've been taking advantage of it ever since.
Barry?
I will say that men seem to have an advantage, because Satan, even the devil, is a man, but his most trusted lieutenants are women.
How do you know what their names? What are the names of his trusted lieutenants?
I haven't met any for the past 3-4 weeks.
Oh, well, good.
Well, Joan, do you have a little to add to that?
Well, if I wanted to tip one way or the other, I think it would definitely be in favor of the women. You know, it's a statistic that is very well known that the women control a majority of the wealth in this country. Did you know that?
Yes, I know.
But the men keep it.
Myself.
The men keep
how about
it.
You, Eloise?
Yes, but, Joan, it still remains that men more or less stick together. I mean, you know, they will give a man a job over a woman, and they will do little things like that. They always sort of stick together in order that the man can have the best thing. So we have to admit that even though we have a pretty good time, and I'm perfectly willing to admit it, that still when they do stick together, they get it. You know, I mean, they can do things and go places where we can't. But really, we don't mind, because sometimes it's a pleasure to tell them where they can go.
Well, I think we ought to sum that up. It looks to me like the men sort of won out on that one.
Doesn't look that way to me.
You mean the men won? No.
I'll get into the next question. Our next $10 goes to a young woman who signs her letter, teenager in New York City. The letter reads, on double dates, I'm often asked to get another girl. Now, I prefer to invite someone who's attractive and intelligent because I believe that you're judged by the friends you keep. My mother, however, thinks it's foolish of me to ask girls who might turn out to be potential rivals. Now, which do you think is the best technique to use in this case? Now, what about that, girls? Joan, do you...
Oh, I think you should definitely bring somebody that's interesting in addition to the party, because if it's a double date, then obviously the people don't want to be alone. They want to be with friends, and they want to have fun, and you ought to bring somebody that's in addition to the party.
Sheila?
I think you should bring the most beautiful girl you can find, because she's likely to get more men than she can handle, and you get the overflow.
Well, Now, that's a very cute statement. Robin, what do you say?
Well, I think the mother is giving this girl a bum steer, really, because she has to be braced in this life for competition. And I think that not only that, but that the boy that she is getting the date for will not think very much of her if she gets an unattractive person. I think she'd be far smarter to follow her own intuition and get a girl that's attractive. She doesn't have to be terribly beautiful, but a girl that's interesting and nice. That makes a whole lot more sense.
Well, I'm sure that Miss Teenager is being very happy at this point. Do you have anything to change there, Eloise?
Well, of course, I don't agree with Sheila. I don't want anybody's overflow. But as I do agree that you should get an attractive girl, because in case the boy turns out not to be as attractive as you thought, at least you've got somebody to have some interesting conversation with. And anyway, if a man can be stolen that easily with just seeing an attractive girl, you have to go out with the bags on your friends' heads. If you have to go out with this guy, you'd have a nervous breakdown going up the aisle for fear before you got him to the altar, he'd see somebody and whip off from you. And, I mean, it's silly. And anyway, I don't think that girls do trade men because, quite frankly, they're not worth it. I mean, they just haven't got any trade in that.
Barry,
all these
girls seem to agree with the young lady and not with her mother that she should take somebody attractive along. But let me say from personal experience, the young lady always takes her mother's advice.
Well, that's a sad story, Barry. We'll have to get together and
talk. Barry, I'd like to ask you, what kind of a man do you bring along when you have to bring along one for another girl?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Not Clark Gable.
No, that's right. Sheila?
Well, if you bring along a beautiful girl, it's putting your own boyfriend through a test of fire, so to speak. And if he still loves you, it means that he's going to love you for the rest of your life, for your soul, and not for the beauty of your hair. Or something like that.
Maybe you have
important.
Money. That helps.
Go ahead and blow, Barry.
I would say I'm very much in love with my wife. I never knew she had a soul, to tell you the truth.
Is she beautiful, Barry?
I know she's gorgeous.
Good.
Mrs. Sullivan is listening in. He's only kidding.
I'm being very serious if you're listening.
I think we ought to sum that up. I think Miss Teenager from New York City has probably got the answer. Most of the girls feel that she should follow her intuition and ask someone who's attractive, intelligent. And as Eloise says, if the men she goes out with are not interesting, at least she has another interesting woman to talk to. Well, let's go on to number three here. Mrs. William E. Jackson of Teaneck, New Jersey, receives $10, and I hope some good answers to her letter. Mrs. Jackson writes, "Over a period of years, I've noticed that women who appear to be helpless and contribute little more than their charm and physical attractiveness to the home are coddled, pampered, and showered with the world's goods by their husbands. On the other hand, I know many women who are creative, energetic, and dependable. And just because they are so capable, they seem not only to bear their own burdens and responsibilities, but the man's as well. Now, what I want to know is, where is the happy medium, and how does one achieve it? Sheila?
There is no happy medium. Be helpless all the time. Because once a man finds out that you are able to stand on your own and you're pretty smart, he's going to lean on you so hard that soon you'll look like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Barry?
I disagree with that violently. I shined my own shoes this morning.
Where was your wife?
You mean this morning? Have you been accustomed to...
I think this thing, if I may go into the question, where is it? They're helpless and contribute little more than their charm and physical attractiveness to the home. No woman is helpless, period. They pretend to be helpless. Yeah? And any woman who's smart enough to do that is a nice woman to have around.
Well, I'm sort of moderator here, but privately I agree with you, Barry. What'd you have to say, Robin?
Well, I think it's all right to say be helpless, but I'd like to know how you can be helpless with a laundry tub full of diapers that you've got to wash and carry
diaper
out to the line.
Invented by a man.
I don't think a man particularly, not where I live in the country, I don't think a man particularly likes an overly helpless woman. I think you've got to be independent and assert yourself a little bit. I don't think you should cram it down his throat. Your independence and your sense of responsibility. But I do think you have to have a happy medium there.
Well, what she wants to know is how do you achieve this happy medium? That's the question.
I don't think there is a happy medium at all.
Well, I think there's only... Joan, you seem to be bursting.
Oh, sure, there is. You've got to find it somehow. Men are just... Oh, the day is gone when they'll go for these coddled, pampered women.
Oh, it always works in my case, Joan.
Yeah. Oh, it seems to be a little... she's from a variance of opinion there, huh? Eloise, you...
Yeah, well, I think that there is a happy medium. I think it can be reached by being capable and resourceful, but not too resourceful. I mean, if you're going to hang a picture, then you say, well, dear, I mean, you do this so much better than I do, and yeah, let him do it, because if you don't, he'll let you move the piano up and down the stairs and not pay any attention to it. But I think that you've just got to remember the happy medium is reached by realizing, as I've mentioned many times, men work in reverse, you know, like alternating currents, which is probably why so many of them act like a blown fuse.
Well, Eloise, I didn't know you had a trade. That's very interesting. Alternating current. Joan?
Oh, there are definitely times when you have to assert your authority. I mean, particularly about your home. My golly, this woman certainly runs the home, and if she doesn't know where she's going there, they're both kind of lost. But there are definitely times when she should be pamperable, and she's got to know when she should be capable and when she should be coddleable. And there are times for both of them, too.
Yes, but men are so eager. You have to be authoritative then, if they aren't too eager.
Sheila,
did you want...
Let her be capable. I think a woman should be capable when the man isn't there. But, you know, because there's nobody to do her work for her. I can always do everything I like when there's no man there. But when a man is there, give him the joy of doing all the work.
Yes, it seems to me that I think I want to sum that up and say that I think Barry summed it up quite well for all of you. The idea is not to be helpless, but to pretend you're helpless. I think you did a very good job all the time.
I agree.
Look,
with you.
Right now they're pretending to be helpless, but they have a pitcher of water over there. I have it. There you are.
Who's helpless?
Well, we'll give you some.
Well, I think we've summed that up, and Barry, you've done the summing. It's obviously that you've won the argument on that case. And,
bless you, Gene.
Being sort of prejudiced, I'm very happy for you. Thanks a lot, old boy. Now, we'll go on to the next one, which is number 4, W.E. Havlina, Mrs. W.E. Havlina of Long Island City, New York, also receives $10 per question. She asks, what is the greatest weapon a woman has to hold her husband, her beauty, her cooking, or her children? Sheila's hand popped up.
Well, it varies with the age. At 18, it isn't her cooking. At 50, it isn't her girlish beauty. I think she should have a well-stocked arsenal and know when to use which.
That's a very fine answer. Joan, did you...
Well, it might sound trite, but it's true. I think her love is the thing that's going to tell in the long shot, in the long run. Her love for him and his for her. If she loves him enough, she'll learn how to cook. And if she loves him enough, she'll keep care of her beauty and her grooming. And if she loves him enough, she'll teach the children to love him, too. And that's what he wants. Right?
Well,
it sounds very beautiful.
Barry, did you want to blow that?
You don't have to blow it.
I was going
to talk, you know.
Oh, I got to blow. That's better.
I would say it all depends on the viewpoint. You see, all my male friends say that my wife holds me by her beauty. You see, all my female friends say she's a good cook. You know?
Uh-huh.
Personally, I think the children have something to do with it, too.
Depends on your point of view. Robin?
Well, I think it's a mistake to use the word weapon, because I don't think any weapon can hold anybody or anything. I believe that if you love a man and he loves you and you're a good companion, that you'll be able to hold him. I don't think good cooking, I mean, that's fine. If you can cook, all right, wonderful. But I don't think cooking or looks or any specific thing hold a man.
Might I suggest that community property is a big item, too?
Well, Mrs. Hadley didn't say anything about community property. Of course, she lives in New York City where they don't have it. Now, maybe that's an inducement for her to move to California. Eloise?
Well, of course, the answer to how to hold your husband is with both hands. But actually, to be unusual for me and a little bit serious... As far as holding on to somebody, I think that a woman has to do it with love. And if you have to use anything else, then you should just let him go. And in this case, I would say I would be strictly on the man's side. Be in love with him and stay in love with him. And if you're not, take a DDT pill. Drop dead twice.
Well, I think we'll sum that up. According to all the girls, love is the thing that counts, except Sheila, who feels that it all depends on what stage of life you're in, whether you're 18 or 80. Eloise thinks that love helps, all right, but it's a good thing to hold him with both hands. Well, that should give her the answer. We hope it works, Mrs. Havlina. So now we get to the next question. This is a letter signed Lucky Bride, Montague, Michigan. She sends this letter and gets $10 for it. Here it is. When a girl has a husband who keeps telling her that she's the luckiest woman in the world because he married her, should she let him go on thinking he's such a prize package, or should she make him face the facts? In other words, should she let him know she could have done better, lots better? Oh, Robin, you...
Well, all I can say to her is if she could have done so much better, why didn't she? I mean, that's the dumbest excuse in the world for complaining about a man who says he's great. Because if she could have done a lot better, she should have. If she's crazy about him, why kick? There are a lot of blowhards in this life. She's apt to get another one. She'd better stick to this one.
Well, I guess Miss Lucky Bride had the answer that time. How do you feel out there, Miss Bride? Sheila?
I don't think she should descend to his level and tell him how lucky he is to have married her. If she was fool enough to marry him in the first place, I think she should put up or shut up or shoot him. Or something.
Barry, you're on.
I would say that any girl who can tolerate a jerk who'd make that kind of a remark is pretty stupid to start with. Mm-hmm. And being pretty stupid to start with, I think she's pretty lucky to have any husband. Therefore, he is right.
Barry, I want to listen to that right after the broadcast. That was very well stated, and Eloise is dying for a comeback.
Well, of course, Barry, he is absolutely wrong, because every man always says that the girl is so lucky to have gotten him, and actually, no matter what she tells him, he's still going to go on thinking he's a dream boy. I would simply advise her to say that he agree with him. He is a prize, and it's really too bad that all the other girls didn't get him, but not everybody wants to settle for the booby prize.
Joan Leslie, have something to add to that?
I don't agree, Eloise. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think you should try to play ticks on each other. After all, you're married. You did enter into the state of marriage, and it's a rather sacred bond. And you shouldn't play games with each other. You ought, it seems to me, take it seriously, discuss it, and try to reason with him. And try to remember the way you felt when you were first married. You both thought you were something pretty special then. Otherwise, you
wouldn't
have taken
that. Well, I agree with you, but you see, you have to realize, Joan, this is a man, and you can't reason with a man.
Eloise, I disagree with you violently. Men are really terribly nice people. What are you doing later?
You don't say. You're a married man.
All right, now, girls, we'll have to hold it for just a second. Part of the fun of this show, you know, is to give our guests a chance to ask you a few questions. So, Barry Sullivan, I hope you ask them some toughies. Make them squirm a bit. In other words, Barry Sullivan, strike back. Loosen your collar.
Look, tell me this, girls. Why does a woman always expect a man to see things her way? If he doesn't, she thinks he's stubborn. Why can't you women accept the fact that no one is always right?
You call on him, Barry.
Sheila?
Well, we'd like to be reasonable, and of course no one is right all the time. But it is strange that men are wrong 9/10 of the time.
That's exactly what I mean.
Robin?
Well, I think, as Sheila said, I think your batting average is pretty low.
Well, that depends on the point of view.
That depends on the bat.
Consequently, in many of the cases, we're right. And, you know, you talk about we are stubborn and won't admit that... that we're wrong when you think we're wrong. Who's going to qualify this? Who's right and who's wrong? That's what interests me.
Women.
Well, that's what my job is. I'm arbitrator on this thing. Keep right on going,
Joey.
Barry.
It's absolutely not true that the women are always trying to force their will on men. It's the men who are always trying to make the women think that they're right. The woman is a peacemaker. She's the one that tries to make up things and tries to agree with them if it's at all possible.
Well, you really believe that?
Of course I do.
Oh, brother. Eloise?
Well, of course, Barry, women are always 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent right. But when we're not, we admit it. And I think we've proved it. All the girls on the show, we've admitted when we're wrong. But has a man on this show ever admitted that he's wrong? No. Talks on the whole half hour, yatta-ti-yatta-ti-yatta. Never will admit he's wrong. Actually, I want to give the men a piece of advice. You could do a lot better with the girls if you'd use a little more cold turkey and less bologna.
Barry,
I'm going to try that advice and see what happens to me. And we have another question here. You women are always saying that men have no imagination when it comes to clothes. I know there's never been a woman who didn't consider the height of achievement that of getting a mink coat. Now, can you girls tell me why a mink coat symbolizes success? Why can't it be some other kind of fur? Sable, which is usually more expensive. Or why not something more practical? A new car, a house in the country, a yacht. Why must it always be...
Who can afford it? Now, what are you going to do, Barry? They've all got their hands up.
Oh, it's not the woman's idea at all.
I like the way she frowns. That's why I called her. Go ahead, dear.
It's not the woman's idea. It's definitely the man's idea. He standardized the idea of a mink coat. It isn't the woman's. I mean, she's full of imagination.
You have really lived a sheltered life.
Who is the man who writes all this ballyhoo about mink coats and all the quiz contests where they give them away? It's a man, I tell you, every time.
Who wears them? Sheila?
Well, it's really very simple. A woman likes the mink coat because she can wear it. That was my cue for wear it.
Yes.
And she doesn't particularly want a car or a house because she can't wear a car, and she can't wear a yacht, and she can't wear a six-room cottage. But when you say that women prefer mink to sable, just try waving a piece of sable under my nose and see what I do.
Barry, don't you like that nice, quiet, the bland expression that Sheila's giving in her home?
But I'm thinking of that sable.
You know, I'll tell you something. The reason she's wearing that mink hat is so that some man will suggest that she ought to have a coat to go with it. You know?
Power of suggestion.
You're so right.
Well, I'd like to disagree with Sheila. I'd love the house in the country or the yacht because I could always turn that in. For probably $30,000, buy a mink coat for $5,000, have $25,000 left over.
Girl.
That would be very juicy.
Not only that, you've already got a mink coat.
Who's your business?
Now, you girls. Girls, I'm going to have to ask you to stop talking all at once. You'll get your turn here.
But
go
I
ahead,
don't
Eloise.
Think the desire to have a mink coat is instigated by the male. I think a mink coat is something all women would love to have. And I think that's very true, and I think your question's perfectly right, and I concede the point.
Yeah, but why?
Why? Because
it symbolizes success. You can see it. It looks beautiful.
Eloise?
Well, of course, what I loved about your question was you said it's so practical, a yacht. You know, if there's nothing so practical as a yacht, that's what I always say.
You want to get to the next question?
Am I a second here? I would like to say very quickly that the reason a woman wants a mink coat is to lead into something else. She gets a mink coat and then she says to her husband, look, this dress, I can't wear it under this beautiful coat. Get me a new dress. You see? Uh-huh. Then she says, we can't live in this house because it isn't good enough for the coat, and she moves into a better house. Then she gets the yacht and the car and everything else. Next question.
That's the stuff. Next question. Don't give her a chance. Robin is bursting.
Why does a woman always belittle her husband's former girlfriend?
Hmm.
To hear her talk, you'd think that the only dates he ever had before she came along were with scatterbrained little morons. Homely ones at that. Sheila?
Well, there's a chance it's true. Most men aren't bright enough to have more than one bright, attractive, intelligent woman in their lives. Period.
You know that is not true. Robin?
Well, I disagree with Sheila, because that's an insult to you.
To me?
Yes, and
why?
To me,
why?
And to anyone that's married. Well, if you didn't have a little competition and feel as though that you came out the winner, if all you had to face were a few homely critters, no wonder you won, you know?
Well.
Eloise.
Well, actually, I don't think that the girls talk about the husband's ex-girlfriends. I think they leave well enough alone. If they're in love with a guy, they're glad to have him around. He's the one that is always saying, well, of course, dear, you look a mess this morning, but you should have seen Mary or Jane or somebody else. They were gorgeous. So finally, after 6 months, you meet the girl, and she is gorgeous. Looks just like Gorgeous George. Miss Lower Slobovia of 1949. I've met a million of them.
Well, I'm sorry, girls and Barry, but our time's almost up. This was a tough show as far as the decision is concerned, but you girls were right in there with the answers, and Barry, you were right back at them with the answers, too. Well, it was a lot of fun, and we certainly appreciate having both Joan Leslie and Barry Sullivan as our guests. And now Herb Allen is ready and waiting to tell you about the $10 letter. So, until next week, this is Gene Raymond wishing you good night and good luck, everybody.
Gene Raymond. Joan Leslie's current picture is Northwest Stampede. Sheila Graham's syndicated column appears in leading newspapers throughout the country. Barry Sullivan can now be seen in Paramount's The Great Gatsby. Gene Raymond's now starring in Million Dollar Weekend, which he also directed. Remember, any time your letter is selected for discussion on the Leave It to the Girls program, you'll receive $10 in cash. Address your letter to Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. All letters become the property of Leave It to the Girls, and the decision of our editorial board is final. If you'd like to attend the Leave It to the Girls broadcast, send your request to the ticket department, Mutual Broadcasting System, Hollywood 28. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another all-star panel. Leave It to the Girls was produced by Martha Roundtree and directed by Gene Wright. Herb Allen speaking from Hollywood.
This feature was transcribed. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.